Welcome to the Functional Tennis Podcast. I'm your host, Fabio Molle, and every week I bring you insights and lessons from players, coaches, parents, and experts who are ingrained in the world of high-level tennis. This week, I speak to Peter Hermans from ASICS. Peter is a product manager for ASICS Tennis, who are the sponsors of the Functional Tennis Podcast. So excited to have him on. We chat about his role, the updated solution speed, and Dimitrov wearing it in Monte Carlo. He also gives updates on the resolution in Cord FF Novak, as well as technologies in their latest clothing range, and an insight into their Paris and London houses during the slams. Here's Peter. Hi, Peter. Welcome to the Functional Tennis Podcast. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you, Fabio. Very happy to be here.
Great. Well, I'm excited to find out about all things ASICS here. I've met you a few times in real life, but I don't know much about you, Peter. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about your background, your history with ASICS, how long you've been there, and what you've done and what you do.
Yeah, for sure. I think it started all back as a little kid, loving sport in general. Didn't really matter what it was, but you know, every sport I did, from football to actually playing tennis and everything in between, excited me a lot. So you know, you dream of having a career in sport, and luckily I started in a store at ASICS, just selling our shoes, and built my career from there. That was 13 years ago, so I've been with ASICS for a while now. And the last 6-7 years, I've been focusing on tennis specifically. So officially, my title is the product manager for tennis, for both footwear and apparel. And that means that I make sure that we have the best possible range that we can have.
And what exactly do you mean by product manager? Like, do you help come up with concepts for new shoes, or do you look after player relationships, or do you do all that?
Not really the player relationships. I am in contact with a lot of players. So we have something within ASICS that's called the ASICS design philosophy. So that basically everything we do follows 4 certain steps. I am part of every 4 of those steps, but in some parts smaller or bigger. But basically what I do is I inform our designers in Japan about the needs of the market. So we listen to professional athletes, but also everyday players. Whenever you and I talk, I always try to find things about a product that we can improve or can do different. So we look at those details, and then I brief that towards our team in Japan, and they come up then with like, okay, how can we that turn into new technology, for example?
And then they come back with some solutions, and you give feedback, and then it's a loop.
Yeah, and then we go through testing, and then we get again feedback. We give that feedback back to our designers. So the majority of tennis, even though the tour is happening all over the world, the majority of the players are in Europe. Our designers are in Japan. So yeah, I'm really close by a lot of the players to get a lot of insights and get that to the right people in the right organizations.
And let's say the solution speed redesign, so the current version is 3, that was released in January. How long did that take from let's start working on version 3 to actually available in retail stores?
I think the very first moment we think about for, and then all the way to being available in the store, I think it's almost 2 years. Which also is interesting because the life cycle of the shoe is roughly every 2 years. So okay. By the time the shoe is in the market, we already start thinking about the next one. And sometimes it's 2 years, sometimes it's 3 years. The Cord FF Novak, for example, we took an extra year to really make sure that shoe was as good as we could make it. But yeah, it takes roughly 2 years, a year and a half to 2 years that it will take for the entire process.
That's crazy. So you start from like, you just finish the last shoe and you're like, you can't even, you celebrate the next day, we're back into it.
Yes,
that's crazy. And it's something I've got asked randomly by people, and I've no answer for this, but how do you pick colors? Like, what dictates what colors you're going to have for, I saw the shoe last year actually in the Paris house where it was the solution, it was the white and blue, which was amazing. And I was like, what is this shoe? I had no idea you're even working on the shoe. But I was like, this is amazing. But like, who picks the colors, or why do you pick those colors?
Yeah, so there we have a whole team. So you have footwear designers that develop technologies, and we have color designers, for example. And color designers, they don't make new colors, but their job is to think about what are colors that will be trendy at the moment that we're working on this. So you can imagine we work ahead, right? So you're predicting a little bit like what will be cool the year after, which is really difficult, but you have some insights from fashion brands and from trend reports to know roughly what is there. And then it's a mix between are we doing what everybody else will be doing? Are we picking the most predicted color, or are we doing a slightly different thing? But are we still coming up with colors that people want to buy? Because you know, you can make anything, any color, but then in the end, you also want it that people like the color. So it's always a mix. And then we have four collections in a year, right? So also there, you want to mix it up a little bit. So actually, there comes a lot into play. But we luckily have a big team of experts that know exactly what will be cool the year after. And I still haven't really figured out how they know it, but it always kind of works out that way.
That's crazy. Because sometimes you see, not only in tennis, but in other sports or in fashion, where different brands come out the same colors. And you're like, or sometimes they have the same patterns or they,
yeah.
And you're like, how did that happen? Like, it's really weird. So just really interesting.
Yeah. And that probably comes out of like trend reports and things that, so some colors, you know, there's companies that say this is the year of purple. And then, you know, it's a very easy way to go, for example, into a purple color. But then the risk is that all the brands have a purple shoe then all of a sudden. So Are you then making the shoe purple, or are you just making the laces purple, or are you not using purple at all? Those are like the details that we have a whole team of experts to think of.
That's crazy. Absolutely crazy. And tell me, so and it was January I got the new solution speeds, the FF3. At the start with a new baby, so I didn't get to play as much tennis as I could, but I've been using them more and more. And since the first day I wore them, they felt great. You know, the breaking period is it's like 10 minutes, not even. Like you can wear them straight away. They've plenty of grip. They're lighter. I did weigh them a while ago. I had the 1s, 2s, and 3s, and I weighed them, and the 2s were lighter than the 1s just about, but the 3s are way lighter than the 1. Like it's like a, would it be, I don't know how many grams, like 40 grams lighter or something. It was crazy. It was a big amount.
Yeah, so we always measure the same size for consistency. So you probably measured your own size. I don't know exactly if that's the same, but we use a US size 9 or UK 8. And we measure that, and it's 38 grams lighter than the previous version, which is exactly what we wanted to do when we developed this shoe. We wanted to come up with the lightest shoe, at least on our side, but maybe even within the industry. And then happy to hear from you as well. Like one of the most important things that we want is we want everybody to get them out of the box, wear them, go to the court and be able to play. So I'm happy that you feel that you don't need any time to wear them in, that you can play directly, because those are one of the most important things, right? Everybody wants to buy new shoes and start playing. So we focused on making the shoe lighter. So we changed, for example, in the upper, the material. So in the past, we used TPU. TPU is a rubber kind of component, which is a great component, really durable, for example, and very flexible. But our team actually worked over those 2 years that we developed the shoe on a new material called an engineered mesh. That's a bit of a complicated term, but basically it means that it's an open fabric-like material. To not lose the durability, we have like reinforced fibers in it. So it gives that super lightweight and soft feel without losing the durability, especially today's tennis, like tennis players. They go to so many pairs of shoes because of the modern way of tennis. There's much more sliding and things like that. So we reinforced it, hopefully on the right places, with still the traditional TPU, but then the rest of the shoe is made out of this engineered mesh, and that's where we're losing a lot of weight. So yeah, basically we put the version 2 on a diet, and we have now one of the lightest shoes in the market.
Crazy. Well, the one thing I can't test is wear and tear, because I don't play enough. I don't slide. I don't run quick enough. So I'm the worst tester for wear and tear. But apart from everything else, like the stability, the lightness, the comfort, you can wear them all day, is amazing. And when you see players like, is Diminuar, he's your top player wearing them, is he?
Yeah, and we tested extensively with him. So luckily, that's a guy that plays quite a lot of hours of tennis. So we can get to a lot of testing in a short period of time. We've tested different versions with him to take a look at where actually is the wear and tear happening, where is the foot bending, how and which parts of the foot is he using when he accelerates forward or when he accelerates in a sideways movement. So yeah, we're closely worked with him specifically for this version. And yeah, I think he's, if we talk about like the player that is looking for a lightweight and a fast shoe, I think he's the perfect ambassador, maybe even on tour, I think, in general.
Yeah, in general, if you want to move like the Minwer or think you move like him, cover the court well, it's the shoe for you. And especially, I think some people just like light shoes. I remember when you guys came out with the solution, the first speed back in like 2011 or 12, I can't remember the exact 10, 11, 12. And I was excited because I used to wear Diadora back then. I thought they were really a lovely light shoe. And then finally Asics brought out this amazing shoe. It was amazing. And I think it was green, my first one.
Yeah, at that time, tennis shoes were often quite stiff and heavy. And that's really where we saw a massive, I would say, almost revolution in lightweight footwear within tennis. And I think the Solution Speed Series at that time was one of the first ones. But I think other brands also caught up. So it's always a nice battle also with other brands to see what can we do that other brands cannot do.
It's a hard, you know, nobody's mastered like Asics so far. I've seen other light shoes, but you're still my number one. So
good. I mean, we always think about you when we develop the new
get out of here. So we're gonna see if there's any updates on the Resolution and Court Novak in a moment. But first, a couple of weeks ago, I was in Monte Carlo at the Masters. I hadn't started yet; they were just practicing, and had my schedule. Who's on the courts? And Dimitrov was on one of the courts. I had to go check him out, get his backhand. Went there, but I looked and I was like, wait, he's wearing Asics. That's really strange. And I had no idea of it. And I posted a video about it on Instagram. Most of the world had no idea about it. And it sort of blew up. It was so strange seeing him in a pair of Solution Speeds. That's what he's wearing. So tell me, what's the story there?
Yeah, I think the interesting thing is there's a lot of players that kind of want to wear Asics, but of course they have sponsor contracts and they work on like personalized product with their own sponsors. But we knew from our team that works with athletes that over the period that Dimitrov had left Nike and went to Lacoste to really start thinking about, do I want to have Lacoste in my footwear deal or not? And was asking around a little bit. So I don't know all the details, of course, from their side, but he's definitely been feeling around a little bit like what else is on the market. So that was great, actually, because your post also definitely sparked a little bit of interest on our side in the office when we were like, hey, look at this. We didn't know this. So I think he even bought a pair of shoes just to try for him to see what he liked. I do think he had a quite heavy customized shoe from his Nike period. So that's a shoe that then they are completely tailor-making to his needs. So it's interesting to see players trying different brands whenever they are like free. We see that currently also with On Jabeur, Taylor Fritz. Those are two players that have apparel only deals, as that is called within the tennis industry. So they're basically free to use whatever footwear they want. And then these are players that are then experimenting with a couple brands. I saw Fritz wearing a couple different brands, but currently playing on the Gel Resolution 9 on Jabeur as well. And I think that, you know, for me as a product person, there's no better compliment you can get when players, once they are free, they want to use your product. And I think that's really nice to see that on the court when they're playing on your own product.
Do they actually go out and buy it in a store?
That's Yeah, that, you know, I said a lot of players have like customized shoes, but these are stores that you and I can also buy. Is at your local retailer, you can just purchase a pair of gel resolution 9s, and those are one-on-one the same that the players are wearing. So yeah, that's also something that we're always really proud of, that we don't have to go into extreme lengths of tailor-making product for players, that the shoe, no matter if it's for you, Fabio, for a professional player, you can get them out of the box and you can start playing tennis. And that's always great to see.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. I do know, I remember I was listening to conversation last year, and your grass court shoe is really popular, and players go mad trying to get their hands on them, and they can't get them. You just don't have enough to give them. And yeah, I can't even, Lindsay won't even give me a pair. No, I have an old pair and they're amazing. They're amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the grass shoe especially is a shoe that I think the outsole that we have works really, really well on the grass surface. And then I think if you look at the top maybe 500 for both men and women, the majority of them, they will not have a footwear contract. And the majority of them are also then knocking on our door. And you can imagine how many pairs of shoes that are.
Actually, will the grass course be available to buy this year?
No, unfortunately not yet, because also the reality from a very boring commercial perspective is that's only 3-4 weeks. So mm-hmm. having a full production line at the moment is not something that makes a lot of sense, but it is definitely something we're investigating and seeing if we can bring something to market maybe in the year after. But I cannot make any promises there.
No, you definitely have people. I know people who'd buy multiple pairs of them. So I know that doesn't make the boss in Japan too happy. A few more zeros there. But so tell me, the resolution that was released last January, was it? Or was that December? Sorry, December gone. So yeah. December.
2022.
That was released. And anything new coming? What's the latest with that apart from a few new colors?
Yeah, similar as what I said for Solution Speed, we're always trying to develop that shoe. So on the short term, there's not something happening there. So we'll have some new colors coming for all the Grand Slam period. So around now, the French Open, you can expect a new colorway, and then towards the US Open. And then when our players go on the Asia swing, basically at the end of the year and the ATP finals, for example, then we have a couple extra colorways coming. But always looking at ways to improve. But on the short term, you can still trust on the resolution line.
Nice. And also the Court FF Novak shoe, which is a great shoe. And you were speaking earlier about, I was speaking about how, you know, a shoe you can wear straight away. I found that one, I needed a little bit more time. And I feel like, as in, unless you cover the court really well, I think that shoe is really good at that. And I just feel I feel I'm not good enough for a shoe. And that's one of the shoes I'd love to wear, but I'm like, no, I'll stick to my own. Cause it's quite light as well, even though it has a lot of more padding on it.
Yeah, it's basically a slightly heavier version of the Solution Speed. So still really looking for dynamic and fast movements, but this is also a little bit more for like, the Solution Speed is really made for the player that likes to move all over the court really fast and dynamic. And the Court FF is more for a player that mixes a little bit about like the defensive movements around the baseline and picks the movements towards the court a little bit more selective. So the shoe is a touch heavier because we know that when you move from side to side, you need a little bit of extra weight in your shoe to make them a little bit more stable. That's why Resolution is again one level heavier. This is the heaviest shoe we have, but that's because for those sideways movements, it's really, really well. It fits really well. And the Court FF, I think a shoe of the year. So I think a lot of people are very happy with it. And I think this is a shoe that the monosoque, that construction that is on the upper that really hugs the foot. I think a lot of people like it, but there's also some people that find it a little bit too like narrow around the foot, and then you get more to a like more traditional construction like the Solution Speed or the Resolution.
Yeah, if you wear ankle braces, it's a bit tougher to put on because obviously it's size. But and anything, it's just going to new colors with that shoe this year. You've nothing planned, no major plans.
No, the Court FF is almost a slightly different way of working because we work so close with Novak Djokovic on that. And Yeah, please. Super happy. We're super happy. So there's now a lot of things to improve. It's also, if I'm really honest, hard to find improvements on the shoe. We always try to challenge ourselves, but yeah, how do you make one of the best shoes on the market even better? So it needs to make sense, right? We don't want to bring anything to market that doesn't make sense or is an update that is not necessarily better. We have a beautiful philosophy within ASICS. It's called Kaizen. So that basically is the philosophy of everything making a little bit better. You can always improve. So through that philosophy, we're always looking at ways like, what can we actually do better? So we're working and we're listening to Novak a lot. We're talking to him a lot to see if there are things to improve. But at the moment, he's really happy. We are really happy with the shoe. So I also here don't think on a very short term, anything massive in terms of updates. But this is something that could, if he calls us tomorrow and he says like, hey, I have this idea, then all of a sudden that could accelerate and lead to further development. So there's not necessarily a timeline or a calendar for this kind of development. It's more working with the athlete and see what we can do.
So enjoy the calmness right now, the lack of intensity.
Absolutely. Yes.
And moving on to clothes, I know you ASICS over the past few years, like 3 or 4 years, every year there seems to be their range of clothes is getting nicer, more colors. It was quite one colored base before, whites and grays, and but now you have plenty of new colors. It's really exciting. The latest collection looks really nice, and obviously the material is really nice as well, where it's not just synthetic cottons, and there's like nice designs within the material, which I always think is really nice. But with your Roland Garros collection, your Claycourt collection, does anything change in the clothing, or is it the exact same as like a, I don't know, a US Open collection?
So we update every half year the technologies within our clothes. So we know that in this first half year, you have the Australian Open and you have Roland Garros. Those are two tournaments that traditionally are really hot. So we're really looking at keeping the player cool and dry and comfortable. We have a philosophy that is called zero distraction. So really we want to put that player on the court fully focused on the game and that tennis ball basically, and not thinking about my shoulders are not fitting well, or my t-shirt is sticking to my body, or you know, when I serve it's pulling, or I have to like pull through my apparel. So I think these are all things we all know when we play tennis in, you know, in hoodie when it's cold, or something, you wear something that is not the perfect outfit, you feel that it sometimes is a little bit like distracting. So one of the things that we do is a technology that's pretty cool. It's called ActiBreeze. It's a very open structure, and we know from our Institute of Sports Science, that is basically a lab that we have in Japan where we can measure everything, if we put a player in a room, in a climate neutral room, and we measure them in that apparel, we can actually see that up to 12%, their body temperature is lower. And that's something that means that they sweat a little bit less. Of course, they will still sweat in Australia and in Paris in the summer, but it's just a little bit less. And those details, especially when you on the women's side have to play 3 sets, or on the men's side, you have to play 5 sets, in that last set, that is what can give you a little bit of an advantage versus your opponent. And that's things that we hear from our players that work really well, that they feel comfortable to go into like one of those final sets because they know they can trust on their both footwear and apparel.
Nice. And how would that change from, let's say, a collection the second part of your season where maybe like London is a little bit more colder, you know, what's difference in the clothing?
Yeah, so then for example in London there's maybe a little bit less of that open structure, so it's covering up a little bit more, but also there, like London in the summer could get really hot. So we still want to make sure that you breathe and have the ability to cool the body down a little bit. And then what we often see in New York is that the humidity is really high. So we want to look at apparel that dries a little bit faster, for example, or materials that when players have sweaty hands that they can wipe it on their pants and their hands are dry, for example. So there's these little tiny details that make it specific for those weather circumstances.
Yeah, it's interesting because that can make a difference. I have wore some of those lighter tops before where it's windy, it actually cuts through, it feels too cold.
Yeah.
And obviously people who live like in Singapore, more humid parts of the world, that if they wear the right clothing, actually, as you said, can you know, can make a difference and can make you feel better and less stressed about something. Or like when something's annoying you, it's like when a t-shirt's too small for you and you're pulling at it and little things. Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't really know about that.
I think the best example, it's not exactly the same case, but when I make this example, everybody knows exactly what I mean. Nadal has these little things when he serves where he pulls the apparel a little bit around his shoulders. I'm not saying that it's not fitting well, it's just part of his routine, but our players don't have to do that because after service, the apparel sits back where it needs to sit. After a forehand, it always falls back to the most flexible and the most dynamic way they can move. So we don't have players, and we see it sometimes from other brands, especially when it is all of a sudden a bit more hot or humid, that they have to adjust their apparel all the time. And that is one of those things where we talk about zero distraction. They have that distraction in their mind where they want to readjust, and our players then, they don't have to do that. So especially on that level, I will also be honest, Fabio, for me, it doesn't make any difference. But on that level, it will for sure make some difference.
Ah, you'd be surprised, Peter. Tell me, which shoe do you wear actually when you're on court? If you get to go on court.
Yeah, this is always the biggest sugar. I don't play that much tennis because I am too competitive for the level that I can play tennis. So I can get the ball over the net and in front of the baseline. But then when I want to place it in a corner or I want to put some more power, then I lose all control. So I play, for example, a little bit more padel, which everything is much easier and more forgiving. In padel, I play on the gel resolution. It's one of my favorite shoes, but I also have quite bad ankles and knees. So that extra stability from the shoe that really helps me to play a little bit more comfortable.
And quick question that you mentioned padel, we have a few padel listeners. Do you do a specific padel shoe, or do people just use the tennis equivalent? Does anything change in those shoes?
Yeah, so I think the majority is the same. The base is the same, but for padel, the movements are different. So tennis, for example, there's a lot of like longer runs that you make, no matter if it's like sideways or forward. Padel, it's much more from the position. And the biggest difference between tennis and padel is that there's the wall behind you, right? So you play much more in a turning motion. So you turn 360 degrees within padel, which you don't do in tennis. You're in a bad position if you have to turn 360 degrees. So that's definitely something that we keep in mind when we develop the product. And so for padel, we have a specific outsole that allows, for example, a little bit more shorter steps, 360 degree movement. There's much more volley and smash within padel. So the shoe has a little bit of a more stable platform, okay. Little details to make it specific for the sport. But the Gel Resolution 9 is the same franchise between tennis and padel, but then the difference is in the outsole.
Okay, but there is a padel version of the shoe.
Yeah, almost every tennis shoe that we have is also a version for padel.
Oh, great. Well, I've no more room for shoes here, so I'll have to stick with the tennis. So my wife will kill me.
I think you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Yeah, with your shoes.
Okay. So finally, last year, I was lucky to be at your Paris house and your London house, where Paris was a bit more, I did some interviews, met the players. They were coming in, picking up their like four suitcases worth of apparel, which was amazing to see. And then London was a bit more activations. And again, there was players there, which are two great experiences. What do you have planned for this year?
Yeah, for this year, we'll have the same houses again. There's a lot happening in those houses, but my role is relatively small. It comes down to those suitcases, as you mentioned. So the cool thing is that all our players that we have playing either Roland Garros or Wimbledon, they will come to the house in Paris. And the reason why they get so much is because they get all their outfits for Roland Garros and for Wimbledon. So basically they get a suitcase for Roland Garros and a suitcase for Wimbledon. And what we do there, such an important part of, remember when I said the Essex design philosophy and we talk to players, This is one of the best moments where we can basically talk to all the players in 1 week time. And that is such a unique experience. So I'll be there with some of my colleagues from the apparel team and some colleagues from the footwear team. And we basically ask them everything we can within the hour that they have within the house. And then, you know, of course, testing footwear is a bit hard in the house, but we can give them, for example, new t-shirts or new tank tops, new dresses, and we have them try it on, give some original feedback, like their first feeling. It's not necessarily about them playing on the court, but if they put it on, do they already feel things that distract them or are not fitting so nicely? So getting a lot of feedback from them in the house is definitely something that we will do in Paris again. And then the next thing is that we explain a little bit about all the new technologies that we have. So we do that also in Melbourne. In Melbourne, we also have a house. The players come there. We explain them a little bit about all the new updates, but we do refresh them a little bit on, look, if it's really hot, maybe wear this t-shirt versus that t-shirt, because that actually cools you down a little bit more. And the best thing is then when we see them play the matches the next day, sometimes they wear a different outfit based on the feedback that we gave them. Oh,
okay.
Because they feel like, oh, it's really hot today, let me put on the t-shirt that cools me down a little bit more. And that's always a great moment to get something from them, but also educate them a little bit on all the technologies that we have.
Nice. So, and then London's the same, is it?
Yeah. So London is a little bit more about our marketing team and the activations that we do with players there. The amazing thing about the Wimbledon house is that it's basically on the back of the practice courts. So there's a door somewhere that almost directly gets you in the garden of the house. So we had actually players last year that were practicing. They were thinking, oh, I have like an hour in my schedule. I see the house is there. Let me give them a shout if they have some time for me. And of course, we always make time for our players. So they come over, just hang out with us a little bit, then we can, you know, shoot some content with them. So it's more a little bit of like how we use them in our activations. It's not necessarily so much for product for me, but I have a ton of colleagues in the marketing department who love to create content with our athletes. And then Wimbledon is the perfect moment for that.
That's amazing, Peter. Thank you very much for all the info. Look forward to catching up with you at some stage. And thank you very much for jumping on.
Thank you so much for having me, Fabio. Can't wait to see you again.